Hi, I'm April Adams Pertwee. I'm your host of the Inside Story podcast. I've been telling people stories my entire adult life as a broadcast journalist, video producer, and digital storyteller. These days, you can find me at Lightbeamers, where I'm building a community of women who are ready to step into their brave by sharing their story with the world. On the Inside Story podcast, I'm bringing you some of the best stories I'm discovering from both the women inside of my community, as well as from around the streets of the internet. Plus, I'm digging deep to share some of my own stories with you along the way. My hope is that these stories will help encourage you to examine your own story so that you can share it with other people. I have a motto at Lightbeamers: when we share our stories, we shine a light. So with that in mind, let's get down to business today and share the light found in this episode. Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to the Inside Story podcast. I'm your host, April Adams Pertwee. And I think that today is going to be a really interesting topic because you guys know that I'm always here trying to find ways to get you to be visible and loud with your words, with your story, with your presence, with all that you have to offer to the world. And I stand behind that 100%. However, I also know that there are many ways that we can accomplish that. And so I have a guest today who introduced this concept to me called quiet influence. And the minute she said those words, I was like, oh my gosh, that is really going to resonate with so many people who don't quite really just want to go after being in the spotlight. They don't just really naturally shine in that area yet. They have so much to offer. And I know this, I'm speaking to so many of you listening right now. So I'm really excited to have this conversation. I want you to lean in. I've got my guest, my friend, Jen Liddy, with me today. She's a messaging expert, content creation strategy expert. She and I geek out over storytelling and words and all kinds of things. So I very seriously doubt we will have a shortage of things to say in this interview. So I'm excited to bring Jen into the broadcast studio and say hello to everybody that's listening from the Inside Story podcast.
Hi, April, and hi to everybody who's listening. I so appreciate you showing up for the conversation, and I can't wait to dive in because I feel like there are a lot of people out there who are so deeply entrenched in what they do. They can do what they do like it's breathing for them. They just show up and their magic happens. And then the moment they have to either step in the spotlight or say what they do or make it about them or market themselves, they get that like, oh, I don't want to. So can I avoid this? Or like, you know, there's a lot of struggle for those people. So I know that those people are in everybody's audience.
They really are, right? We have all types of personalities and people who shine in different ways. And that's why I just knew the minute, you know, you and I had, you kind of tossed this out there. I was like, oh, we've got to talk about that on the podcast. So before we dive completely all the way there, I just want to give you an opportunity. I want to, you know, share you with our audience more. You and I have been circling the internet for a long time. We're friends. We hang out in a lot of really cool groups together. But let's let everybody know a little bit more about you. You are a former teacher who now works in this crazy online world, helping people with marketing, but you didn't really start out in marketing. You started out in teaching.
No, but I never thought I'd
jump from teaching to marketing. You know, because marketing is not teaching.
No, it's kind of a windy little road. I was a high school teacher. Then I was a college professor. My specialty was teaching writing. And, you know, basically I was an English teacher. Then I was a writing and a literature professor. And I got really burned out in teaching, even though I love teaching. I would still be teaching if it wasn't for, you know, grading crappy essays, parents who think that their child is like, you know, never done anything wrong, and cell phones. So I left teaching and I wound up starting a brick and mortar fitness studio with two business partners. I was the communications and operations person for that. And so I basically learned everything about business and marketing from, I say from inside the burning dumpster fire. It was like, I had to figure it out. At this time,
welcome to entrepreneurship for the first time, right?
Yes. Yeah. So I didn't have an MBA. So I thought, who am I to do this? I'm just a teacher. Like, you know, just a teacher. I want to put air quotes around that because just a teacher with two master's degrees. Like, what kind of, you know, idiot did I think I was? So I really struggled. And we're talking 2013 at this point, when that is like the onset of online business really coming into play. We're talking like the Wild West of marketing and webinars, and everybody's just learning this stuff. So I kind of learned it in that way. And even then, even in 2013, a lot of marketing felt really garbagey to me. It felt wrong. Yeah. It felt manipulative. It was like, why is this person putting me on this webinar but not telling me everything? I don't like this. And so I honestly have been bumping along trying to figure out marketing to do my way for like since 2023. So when I left that business—
2013.
Yes, 2013. Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when I left that business and I started my own business, I was like an accountability coach, and I played around with business development for women who wanted to start their businesses. And then I was like, you know, I'm an enormous word nerd. Mm-hmm. I really can pull ideas out of people. The way that I'm, you know, trained to be a teacher and the way my brain works, I'm very present with people's ideas and helping them get it out of their head and say it in a way that their audience can actually consume it.
Yeah.
So at the end of 2019, I remember saying to my coach, hey, just want to do this part of business development that's content creation. Now, it really wasn't a huge thing at that point. Not everybody was talking about content creation. Wow. So that's 2019. I start into 2020 only doing content creation. And then, of course, everything explodes.
Changed.
Online. So that's kind of how I got into the very specific lane of content copy messaging.
But it really does go back to teaching. You know, you said I would be teaching, you know, if it weren't for grading papers and the parents and the crappy students. But I think you are still teaching in so many ways, right? Even in the online space, you have your programs, you have ways in which you help people. You're teaching. You know, I never was a teacher, ever. And my sister and my mom both have teaching in their background, and I never saw myself as a teacher. And I've discovered through the love of, you know, doing what I do around storytelling and helping people that I'm really am teaching. And
teaching.
It turns out that I really love it. So I just, it's interesting, right? But you're still doing it. It's so fascinating.
Without grading,
it comes back around
Macbeth
full
essays.
Circle.
Yes.
I have great bad essays.
No more Macbeth essays. So
well, you said something that I really resonated with too, and I know so many people in the Lightbeamers audience are going to resonate with, is that none of us really do want to do marketing the way that marketing is being taught.
Yeah.
For the most part, right?
Yep.
For the most part. I mean, you and I have been very lucky to be around some groups of people that do marketing in a really ethical, authentic, way
kind.
That feels very aligned and definitely more from a kind of a feminine approach. And that has been refreshing. However, they're not the loudest people in the marketplace, you know, those teachers, those mentors that we have. And how did you kind of navigate your way through? You know, you didn't have a marketing background, you had to learn marketing. And when everyone is teaching, and I say everyone as like a gross generalization, but pretty much the loudest voices in the marketplace, the ones that can buy the most Facebook ads, those types of people, the ones that are teaching marketing are kind of teaching it from this really aggressive, sketchy, don't tell them everything kind of way. How did you personally navigate through that to figure out your way of doing it?
Oh, to be really honest, it was very bumpy. And I had to remember to trust myself. I had to, you know, I remember being on calls with early coaches who were like, need to do this. And I was like, I'm not doing that. I'm not saying that. That's not what I'm going to do. And it led to, you know, I'm not going to lie, it led to slower growth and development. It did not lead to six-figure launches. And that's honestly, I never was really looking for that. And so I just had to get really kind of stop BSing myself about what I wanted and how I wanted my business to look. And even like being parts of cohorts where I just never felt like I felt understood or I felt like I always felt like, oh, you know, she's not going to do it my way. So I'm not going to pay attention to her in this group. And I struggled for a long, long time with this. And in the past 18 months, I've really had to scale my business way down just because of like family stuff going on, reevaluate what I wanted it to be, reevaluate the work I wanted to do and really what I was good at. And in that like quieting down, this thing hit me that my father-in-law used to say, which was like, you would walk into a room and he would say, "Here you are." And I realize I'm that kind of person too. I'm the kind of person who's always going to be much more curious about you. You're much more interesting to me than I am to myself. Yeah. And I really, it's not really about being an introvert, although that very much resonates with introverts because I'm highly extroverted, but I am again, so much more curious about somebody else. I would much rather be shining the light on you or pulling information out of you or sitting next to you and trying to get you to talk about yourself than I am about like getting on stage and talking about myself. And I realized there's two kinds of people in the marketing world. There's the here I am kind of people, and they are incredible and fun and we need them and they're smart and they bring so much to the marketplace. And then there's this whole other group of people that I feel like nobody's talking to, which is the there you are people. And those people have a lot of beliefs. Like they believe like, if I'm going to market myself, I have to learn to love the spotlight. If I'm going to market myself, I have to be talking about myself. If I'm going to, you know, get my brilliance out there, I have to be uncomfortable. And so just in the past, you know, month or two, it's really sharpened for me that if you are a person who is, this will resonate with you, I think, April, if you're a person who's more of a light beamer and a lighthouse rather than somebody who enjoys the spotlight, there are ways that you can learn to market yourself that you never have to feel like you're overly exposed or center stage, or it doesn't even ever really have to be about you. And that's what the message that I want to get out there.
Yeah, that does really resonate with me. You know a little bit about my background, so does the audience, but you know, having come through the media and journalism route to this work, I spent a lot of time and still, I guess, on paper do, you know, like I spend a lot of my time in front of a camera and in front of a light, right? Like, but it's never been something that I have sought out. It's, I could care less about it. And it's been kind of funny that I've had a career in which I've been afforded and you know, that opportunity, but I could actually never, I never really wanted that. It was always more so of, it was a vehicle for me to get to people. And I was more interested in people's stories. And so it was just an avenue that I could get to reach people's stories and use my curiosity as my, as really my secret weapon. So I love that you said that. And the thing about being a light beamer, you know, for me has really been just exactly what you just said. Like, I have way more fun sharing my stage and my platform with all the people and the, especially the women in my community. You know, this podcast has been a platform where I can feature people like you. You're my friend. You're in my community. We circle the world together and I think you're amazing. So I'm like, hey, I get excited. I'm like, hey, you want to come on my podcast? It's not so that I can get higher ratings in my podcast or that more people discover me. It's so that I can get people to discover you. That is it, you know?
Right.
And other things that I've done, you know, we've done these collaborative books. I mean, that was why I said immediately yes to that when Lynette came to me with this idea, because I was like, that is brilliant, because I had never even written my own book yet, right? And the thought of doing it with all these other women made it so much more of a hell yes to me. And now that I have done that, I am embarking on writing my solo book now, but I don't think I would have done that first, you know, in hindsight. Yeah. So that really resonates with me. And I think, I don't know if that will be surprising to people or not, because maybe I seem comfortable in the spotlight because I've had that history. But the truth of the matter is that I think that's why this resonated with me so much, this quiet confidence, this quiet content influence that you're talking about, this quiet authority that you, you know, this influence. I think that's why that really resonated with me when you first spoke about it. So, you know, I love that, that it was your father-in-law, right? That says, there you are, there you are. He's, you know, he's like so excited to see you. And that's how you see people too. So that's a really great tip. That's really a great tip, actually, in terms of creating content, is how could one create content then that allows you to be that person that says, there you are, absolutely, you know, featuring other people, highlighting other people's success.
Yeah.
That's like a really kind of a ninja move if you think about it.
It takes a little bit of practice. And so yeah. I'm happy to share three things that I think people can tactically take away today to put this idea into play if it resonates with them.
Yeah.
If you want me to share let's those, go a little.
I do want you to share that. Let's just, what is your definition then? Like, how would you describe it and explain?
Quiet influence.
I think we've told it through storytelling just now, but then how mm-hmm. how do you explain what is quiet influence?
It's very simple. It's about getting your expertise into the world. You know, you might even consider yourself a thought leader, but probably you don't. You probably don't even consider yourself an expert in anything, right? Yeah. But I guarantee you there's something that you do that is like breathing to you, that mm-hmm. for somebody else, they're like pulling their hair out, trying to get it done. But you show up and you're like, beep, boop, we're done. Here we go. And you know that you're really extremely good at what you do. You probably have a ton of experience, a ton of education, probably a lot of credentials and letters after your name. But when it comes time for people to know who you are, you're probably the best kept secret in your business mm-hmm. and, or in the business. And having to talk about yourself is painful. So you'll like kind of do anything it takes to not market yourself and cross your fingers that another referral will walk in. Mm-hmm. Or the other thing you're doing, if this is resonating with you and you're kind of like a there you are kind of person, is you're like, all right, fine, I'll create some marketing, I'll put some content out there. And your content winds up being a lot of how-tos, a lot of tips and tricks. You like just default to the educational stuff because that's where you just feel really comfortable. So I would say quiet influence has to do with, I want to make an impact in this world. I know that people need to have and feel and be and understand the stuff that is just like, I know in my soul, but I want to do it quietly without the spotlight on me. And that's, you know, it's literally changing the viewpoint from being like, I need to do this, to my audience desperately needs to hear this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, once you said it earlier, like, it's not about you, right? Take mm-hmm. the emphasis off of you and allow the emphasis to be on the people that you truly want to serve. And that is always, for me, the mechanism that gets me out of bed. Yeah. You know, it's like, okay, I can go do this thing. Like today, I was super excited because I have a couple of podcast interviews and I was thinking, you know, oh, I get to talk to Jen. This is going to be really great. I know we're going to have a great conversation. I was never, ever, 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 ever thinking like, I get to go record a podcast episode today and all my totally audience is going to hear my voice and I get to put myself out there and I get to go market this podcast once it's over and have everybody look at me, look at me, look at me.
Right,
that does not cross my mind, I can assure you.
I totally get it.
But I got excited and out of bed and ready and I was prepared. I'd made my notes, you know, like and guess what? Marketing is unfolding, right?
Yeah,
like we get to go share this with other people. So I really love the fact that you said, it's not really about you. I say this in storytelling all the time, like share your story because your story is actually not about you. It's about the people you want to try to serve. Same thing with this marketing idea, this quiet influence, showing up in a way that allows you to share that thing that you do want to share. So what are some, well, let's share your tips. Like what are some ways that people can implement this? And then I have another question to follow up with, but what are like the three things that you wanted to share that people can step into this and see this a different way and maybe implement it to make it easier for them?
Yeah. It's really easy to remember because the three things I'm going to talk about are MVP. It's super
simple
to remember. Mm-hmm. So the M is basically you're creating a marketing mirror for people. And I think that experts forget that there are people in this world who haven't seen their solution yet. They maybe haven't even been able to name their problem yet. Sometimes mm-hmm. when you see something in marketing, you're like, oh my God, I never realized there was a name for this thing that I was struggling with. Mm-hmm. I never realized there was even a solution. And this came to me, like right at the beginning of the pandemic, a client happened to mention to me on the fly that she had gotten these hormone replacement pellets, like bioidentical mm-hmm. hormones. And it had changed her life in her 50s. And I was just about to turn 50. And I had been suffering for 7 years, waking up at 1:47 every single middle of the night, sweating through the sheets, not wanting to touch my husband, like all of those things. And my doctor had shrugged and was just like, well, you're in your 40s now. And I was like, 7 years of just like, you know, crawling along trying. And so she says, right before I turn 50, this thing. So I go talk to the doctor, I get the pellets inserted. She's mirroring back to me everything I'm suffering with. And I'm right.
And you didn't have a name for it.
No, I didn't know this. My doctor had shrugged. And this woman who's a hormone expert had said to me like every single symptom that I was having. And I was like, how do you know this? And she's like, honey, I deal with women like you all day long. And I said, where is your marketing? How come I don't know about you? This has been 7 years.
She was a client of yours.
No, the client told me about the doctor.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I would never have known it if the client hadn't like off the cuff said that. And I was like, why aren't you marketing? She's like, well, I don't really need to market. I don't like marketing. Like,
I just live off referrals.
I suffered for 7 years. And for me, that was at the beginning of my content creation focus. And I was like, marketing is a service for people. And you are mirroring to them stuff they've maybe never admitted before, or they've felt shame about before, or they've never like been able to put words to before. Yeah. It reminded me so much of when my son was really little and I would give him words and I'd be like, oh, Jack, you're really frustrated right now. And I remember him looking at me as a toddler and going, yes, that's it. You get me. Or you're really sad about this. He's like, sad. It's like that marketing mirror, that M piece. If you can reframe your mindset around what marketing is it's giving your audience a way to see what's going on for them and what's possible for them. It's not just about the pain. It's about the possibility too. So it's like, it's actually, I don't want to be like snarky here, but it can be selfish to keep your information to yourself because you don't want to share what you have because it doesn't feel comfortable. I am going to teach you how to make it more comfortable. But the first thing it starts with is believing your audience needs the words and phrases that you have to share with them.
Yeah, that is really good. That is really good. That mirror image.
Yeah.
And that if you don't, you know, people out like your example, like you suffered for 7 years because mm-hmm. that woman was not out in front of her audience speaking about the problem and the solution.
That was such an easy solution.
Easy. She's like, we do this all day long.
All day long. She's like, this is how much it costs. I said, I don't care how much it costs. I want it.
Yeah. Side note, I'm right there with you. And the minute I got on hormones, it's changed my life. So I have to say that I keep talking about it on this podcast because I know I have a largely female audience and I refuse to not talk about my menopause mm-hmm. because I also want to shortcut that for someone else. So I'm definitely not a hormone doctor. I'm not an expert, but by golly, I'm a woman who's gone through this and all of those symptoms and then some that you described. And, yeah. So we also just did a service just now by just sharing a little bit of that story.
Again, going back to your point, like how important storytelling is, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. 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 So, okay. I love that. So that's the M. Now what is the V?
The V is basically voice, because sometimes when experts are really good at their thing, they've been in their little cubicle or their office or their space for so long, they are just like mired down in it by themselves. So they don't even know what their voice is anymore, because probably they've been, you know, working in industry or working in academia, or they've gone online and seen the kind of bullshitty, cutesy, snarky, sassy, all the voices that don't feel like them. And they're like, if this is what it's gotta sound like, I'm not doing it.
Yep.
And they've probably been working in their little silo for so long. They're like, I don't know how to speak where I don't sound like a professor, or I don't sound like, you know, a high level expert with a PhD or whatever it is. They just don't know how to sound like themselves. So the V part is very important, and it's not easy. It usually requires somebody to kind of pull it out of you.
I think this part requires some coaching. I do too. I really, really do.
And also this kind of came to me the other day, because I was thinking about this chat and I was like, when your voice is your personal voice that you want to show up with in your content, wherever that is, you're probably beating yourself up for most of the day. Like, you're probably not saying very nice things to you most of the day, especially if you're a woman who's brought up in a certain way and you, like, you're always used to, like, being very self-critical. So it's very hard to trust our voices. So the outside voices that we see online in marketing feel wrong and gross to us, and they don't feel like they fit. But our internal voice is like, that's not it either. So that middle part is probably the hardest part for people to really identify. And that is, what do I sound like, or how do I want to sound that I don't feel stiff, or I don't feel like I'm talking over my audience's head, or I'm using jargon, or like, how can I just sound like I'm having coffee with somebody in a conversation? And that is extremely hard, but that is the middle one. And once you nail that, like, you can just let go of what everybody else sounds like.
Yeah. This one is really hard for women. Just a couple of days ago, I was having we were doing one of our speakeasy calls, a speakeasy program that I run to help speakers, you know, get their voice out there. Yeah. Right. And one of our, and this was the tail, this we were, it was our graduation call for this particular cohort. And this one particular woman had gone all the way through the program, and she'd done amazing. Mm. I mean, like, she had done amazing, really. And everyone was going around and kind of naming, like, how they saw themselves progress. I was giving them an opportunity to just kind of claim it for themselves. And we got to her, and she's like, I don't think I've progressed. And I don't think that speaking is for me. And I don't think that I can, I see these other speakers out there that do it this way and say it this way, and I'm not doing that yet. And I watch my replays, and I just cringe. And I just don't think and so I was just like, whoa,
I'm out.
And, you know, all that was, and we did, she, at the end of the day, we got her back on track, because all that was exactly what you're talking about. She was looking out at the other voices in the marketplace and going, well, that doesn't sound like me, right? I'm not that. And then that internal voice was criticizing her for the way that she does sound. Right. Mm-hmm. And she couldn't find her middle, to your point.
Yeah.
She couldn't find that authenticity. So we spent a good chunk of the next, you know, 10, 15 minutes of that call, all of us reflecting back to her, what we heard in her, what we noticed. And
that's,
we just,
such a nice thing.
It was so important, you know, because I was like, oh, there is no way we're getting off this call with her thinking that, you know, we just spent 5 months together. No way is that going to be the way we end. And, but that's what it took. It just took us reminding her of how we hear her and what we think her genuine voice is and what we really appreciate about the way that she's shown up and the way that she's done some big things in the last 5 months. Like, she's done some really incredible stuff and put her talk out there and done some things. And she just had forgotten for a minute because she was getting trapped in that voice. And so I think that's really important because we all have our days.
Sure.
You know, we can be really, really good at this for a time, but then fall off the wagon and let those voices dictate how we are showing up. So I think that's really good to point that out and say, whose voice are you listening to? Whose voice are you trying to emulate? And is it really yours?
Yes. Permission giving is very important here, because as a person who doesn't enjoy the spotlight myself, which people think is weird because I'm confident, I'm noisy, I'm gregarious, and I'm a high level extrovert. So people are always surprised when I say this, but again, I find everybody else much more interesting. And so when I had to kind of give myself permission that, yes, you may have been a teacher and you may have been a college professor. You may have always been standing up in front of people and you come off in a certain way, but ultimately when it comes to marketing, it's not a good fit for you to be in the spotlight. I had to give myself permission. Like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to sound like that. I don't want to use my voice like that. And I don't want to say those types of things. And I think if you are a person, then this V piece is really, like, resonating with you. Start thinking about, start with your, like, no, like, what are your no's? Like, no, I don't want to sound like that. No, because from that, the yeses can come in.
Yeah. Then you can identify, what do you want to say? Is your voice trying to, you know, express? And because we all do, this goes back to messaging, right? We all have something to share. We all have something to say. We all have things that are deeply rooted in us, I believe, through our story. So what is it? Like, if you literally had to, like, walk around waving one flag and one flag only, right?
Right.
I always say mine's a little freak flag, but like literally, if you're going to wave that flag, what is the one thing you want that flag to say? Mm-hmm. And that's the voice, like get down into that and ignore everything else out there and including the internal voices telling you, you're dumb. That's stupid. Don't do that. Nobody wants to hear all that. That's nonsense, right?
Right.
You do all have something. So I think this is a really important piece.
The last piece is very tactical. The P, super tactical. And it just takes yourself a little bit of training in. The P stands for the power of the word you, Y-O-U. And you will start to notice that as when you start to begin sentences with the word you or your, have you ever, do you think, people lean in. Mm-hmm. And I started noticing this because there's this thing that happens online where people will say, I'm so excited that I got invited to be on April's podcast. Well, they might give it a like, they might, but at home, they're probably rolling their eyes, right? They're like, oh my God, she's talking about herself again. And they want to be happy for you, but like, we're just humans. And sometimes we get sick of hearing about other people. But the minute you turn it around to you, again, that there you are, like your copy becomes something that people lean into. So instead of me saying like, I'm so excited I get to be on April's podcast, I might say something like, do you wonder about what to do with all the stories that you know are bubbling inside of you, but you've never had a place to tell them and you think nobody would be interested in them? There's somebody you need to meet. And I have not used the word I in any of those sentences.
Right, right.
Now, this takes a little bit of practice because in our heads, we're always talking to ourselves.
We're saying I, yeah.
Yeah, it's always I.
Or and, me, yeah.
You know, especially in our trainings that we've had, like if you've got an advanced degree, it's always about like what you think. But if you just write your sentence, go ahead and write, I think blah, 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 blah. And then take out the I think or the I believe or whatever it is and just start your sentence or train yourself to revise everything you write from a you, Y-O-U perspective. And people really lean in much more closely because they're like, oh, she's speaking to me. Oh,
yeah.
This is a question for me. Oh, she wants to know what I think. And it's just this really tactical difference. It's not cheesy. It's not manipulative. It's really like very engaging. And it goes along with that. There you are.
There you are. That's what I was getting ready to say. It allows you to put the focus back on someone else besides you, right? Mm-hmm. So it's the I in that statement.
Yeah.
And I love that. Yeah.
It's just a tactical piece that takes a little bit of tweaking when you're writing.
I'm going to be paying attention to like when I write my next post or mm-hmm. my emails. You know, my head was spinning just now, like, do I do that? I mean, do
we
I
just do it naturally?
You know, I don't know.
There's nothing wrong with it, but.
Sure, I know. I get that. But like,
yeah,
it'll be fun to play around with the wordplay, right?
It is fun. Yes.
Just to practice a new way of maybe creating content. And I think this is going to be a great tip for people. I really do. This is fantastic. I love the tactical, super practical, you know,
granular.
Easy to implement. I mean, easy enough to figure it out. Right. So
There was the way I figured this out was back when Ruth Bader Ginsburg died and it really affected me. And
me too.
I really wanted
to say something
about it. I did a whole
podcast episode about that, by the way.
I really wanted to say something about it, but I didn't want it to be like, I'm so sad or I can't believe this or whatever. So I did a little bit of research and I found out that in 1974, women still, like they couldn't have credit cards. They couldn't make decisions about birth control, like all of these things. And so I started the post by saying, do you know somebody who was born in 1974 or before? Is it your mom? Is it your sister? Is it yourself? Is it your aunt? And just by starting the post, it was just a personal Facebook post, by asking somebody to think about how just this simple thing. And then I morphed into talking about the impact that she had for women and what a loss it was. That personal post I had made it public, it got shared like 562 times, and that has never happened to me before.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. That's a really great example of what you're talking about too, of what some content could sound like, mm-hmm. you know? So what does it sound like? What does it not sound like? This is going to be really good for them, you know, forever, for all of us, for not just you guys listening, but me too. I'm going to play with this. This is going to be a lot of fun to play with this. Mm-hmm. you know, I do always want to try to talk directly to my audience. So I think I do it in a lot of ways, but I also know that when I'm telling my story, which I also try to do a lot of, I do use a lot of I's. So I am going to have fun now trying to mix the two better if I feel like I'm not already. So that's going to be, I'm going to do some auditing on that.
Can yeah. I just say though, it's not like I'm asking everybody to take away the eye. There's right. Like the eye is so vital. But what happens if you are a person who would rather be backstage or standing next to somebody, or you're a there you are kind of person, by using these three tips today, you get more comfortable. And then suddenly you're like, oh my God, I'm telling a story about myself. Oh my God, I'm talking about me. Oh my God, I'm using I. And I feel like these, like the MVP kind of, you know, tips are helpful to make you feel more comfortable and confident. So suddenly the one day the eye doesn't feel like such a spotlight on you.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. That makes a lot of sense. I mean, I can see it already, you know, and I don't know. And I love the MVP, you know, I love that. And, you know, kind of that, that play on words of, yeah. you know, being MVP. And allowing yourself to be the MVP of your marketing, right? To allow yourself to get out there without it feeling like marketing ease or, you know, hogging the spotlight or being egocentric or any of those things. As I know, and you know, no one in our audiences wants to do that.
For the nobody wants part. To be self-promoting.
Nobody feels wants good. To do that. Right.
Nobody that I talk to ever wants to be self-promoting. Because if they are comfortable with that, they're already doing it. Like they don't need my help. Like, they've got it already.
I have a feeling if they are those, they're probably not really diving into our content that much. Because I'm, right. you know, I don't think that either one of us project that much. This is so good.
I'm glad.
Is so good. So this quiet, okay. So I have to ask
you. Quiet influence. Yeah.
Quiet influence. Cause I was sitting here thinking, okay, Jen, you've got to get like this, this is a book. You know that, right? Like yeah. this is truly talk about thought leadership. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which, you know, I don't know how you resonate with that word, but mm-hmm. this is really, really good content. I think it's super helpful to a particular audience, a particular market share of women specifically yes. mm-hmm. that have, and I see this every day with people come to me, they are struggling with this. So this is going to be some really great ongoing content for you to create and yeah. talk about and really kind of coin this phrase around quiet influence. I'm glad that we got to share it early on here.
Yes. Me too.
So good. Okay. So yeah, with that being said, what are you doing next? Like, are you going to roll this into a workshop or do you already have something created for this? How can people, you know, reach out to you, connect with you if they want to take a deeper dive and learn more of, because I'm sure there's more strategies and implementation, you know, possibilities besides just these MVP and specifically that P part was so practical and tactical. If they want more where that came from, what do you got?
Well, I have a podcast where I talk about this stuff all the time. It's called Content Creation Made Easy. So if you're listening to this podcast and you want to add another to your queue, please go seek me out at Content Creation Made Easy. If you have a question, you can just email me at hello@jenliddy.com. I'm a one N jenliddy.com. I'm sure you'll put in the show notes. Yes. Where I'm not really anymore is Instagram or, you know, I'm on LinkedIn a little bit right now, but like, I don't enjoy Instagram. So I'm not there. So I'm not going to tell you to go find me there. And I have created it's basically a way for people to learn how to use this third tactic, the P tactic.
The U part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so what I did was I created 21 prompts that get you thinking about how to like start into the content with a prompt that is there you are focused versus here I am focused.
Oh, that's really good. Okay. Prompts, I want that personally. Yeah.
Yeah. These prompts will give you, it's not just the prompts either. I give you examples. I mean, I'm a nerdy teacher, right? So I'm going to give you examples. I'm going to show you how to use it, but basically 21 prompts you can like create.
I think that's
content.
Enough to create so much content from that alone. God.
Yes. And it can be long form content like a blog or a podcast or a video or short form for social. And so that is something new. I called it the Backstage Brilliance Marketing Toolkit. And so you can just go to, jenliddy.com/ backstage.
Okay.
And if your audience wants to get it, it's use the code April and they will get it for free. Yeah.
So awesome.
Yeah. So it's a way for people to get something really tangible and start to put it into play. And then the information that they'll get inside of, it's like a mini course. It's, you know, there's audio to it. And so it's, you can really start to use it. It's not just, I just didn't want something that would live in your freebie graveyard for the rest of your life.
Right. Oh, this is really good. Okay. So jenliddy.com/backsplash. That's really funny. Why can't I think
backstage,
of that?
Backstage. So it's jenliddy.com/backstage. And then just use the code April. Cause you remember you hear this on April's podcast and you get it for free.
Okay. That is, I'm going to go grab that today. And I want everyone else to go grab that too. And let's really practice, you know, implementing more of the you into the content to allow us, all of us, to step forward and put the spotlight on others. Say, there you are with your content, and really welcome the people who are in your audience to have them lean in, have them be a little bit closer to you. And guess what? That allows you to market, you know, what you're doing, how you serve, mirroring the M part, mirroring back, telling those stories about, you know, how you're helping clients, what you're, you know, all those great success stories and client testimonial stories. Yes. Those are amazing to share for that M piece. And then the voice, really listening to who you are, what you have to say. Think about that message that you want to wave on that flag, and then definitely go get into the power of you. Yes. This is so good, Jen. Thank you so much for sharing this quiet, quiet influence idea, and your strategies for implementing. I think it's all been really, really great.
Thanks for giving me a platform to share it. It is something I'm very passionate about and I want more people to embrace. So thank you, April.
Yeah, this was awesome.
It was.
All right, everybody. Thanks for being here. Please share this one out with your networks. I know you know people who are also struggling with really, you know, making their mark with marketing. Many people who just say, oh, I don't do that because, right? And again, so this will be so helpful to them. Share it, leave a review, go get on, listen to Jen's podcast as well. You'll get more where this came from, and definitely go get that free download using your code April. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for being here. We'll see you again next week. And I hope that this has inspired you in some way to get out there and go share your story and make the impact that you're here to make as the light beamer that you are. We'll see you next time. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget to give it a review and share this broadcast out with your friends and family. Now, did listening to this episode make you think more about your own story? Are you wondering which parts of your own story are relevant to share with others? This is the question I get asked more than any other. How do I share my story? Which parts of my story are worth sharing with other people? How can I make my story relatable so that others can benefit from it? I've taken my simple process that I've used for years as a journalist and broken it down into a three-part storytelling formula that will help you discover the key components of your own story and how to share it. It's a free resource I've created to help you become a light beamer by sharing your story. Simply go to www.lightbeamers.com and click on the big yellow button on the homepage to download your story formula. I'd love to hear your story too, so be sure to join my free community on Facebook, the Light Beamers Community, and share your story with me. I can't wait to learn more about you and the story that's inside of you. In the meantime, be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you can get notified when our next broadcast is live. You will want to stay tuned to the stories we are lining up for you next. I promise they are so good. As always, Light Beamers, I'm over here cheering for you.
This podcast is part of the Sound Advice FM network. Sound Advice FM, women's voices amplified.